your Bibles, you just go ahead and remain standing with us if you want to in Acts chapter 4. And Will, if you've got a song or a testimony, we still want you to do it. And but the Lord's been dealing in my heart about this passage. And if God would help us tonight, I sure would like to preach. I need the help of the Lord. I want the touch of God on this. Amen. And I don't never want to try to stand and preach without unction or leadership of the Lord. And I want to try to say just what God have us to say, Jesse, and when God would have us to say it. And I found this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver is what the Bible teaches us. And I think it's right. I think that there's no doubt in my mind that that all the Word of God's profitable. There's no doubt about that. But boy, when it's seasoned, when it gets to you in the right time and in the right place, Gavin, they ain't nothing like the Word of God. There's not anything in this world like being in a place where you need to hear from heaven and then God just sending a word right to where you're at. There's nothing like it. And I'll say that in my life. There's not anything like it. And I hope if you're saved, you'd attest the same thing. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read a few different texts. And then I'll say what the Lord would have us to. And or I'll try to. I really do. I want to try to say that. I want to go on record and say tonight, I'm glad I feel like it. Amen. And I'm glad I feel like it. I felt like coming to the house of God about all day long, just looking forward to getting back here and being able to stand. I thought Sunday, whenever I got to open up just a little bit, and maybe I'll confess for a minute. I don't know if I was talking to Josh. I don't know who I was talking to. But I said it may have just been maybe the reason that you fall or whatever. Maybe you get to taking for granted just getting to serve the Lord. But boy, there ain't nothing like getting to feel the presence of God being where God would have you to be. Amen. Bible says in Acts chapter number 4, and I'll read anywhere you'd start would be good. I was thinking about in Acts 4, if you preached out of verse 12, it'd be real good. Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In verse 12, the apostle Peter teaches us there how to get in Christ. Amen. In verse 13, he tells us how to get Christ on us. Bible said in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took them, no doubt, arrested them, no doubt. Look in verse 20, when they charged them not to say anything else, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When they see further threaten them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. But I want you to notice here with me, if you will, in the text that I'm looking at and everything that's been going on in their life as they've been speaking against it. Verse 31, that'll be the text that we bring tonight if God would help us. And the Bible says this, it said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, and we sure thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time. And God, we don't want to do nothing out of order. And God, we want to do the best we can to follow the direction of the Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father, to say only what you'd have us to. I really do pray, God, I know the frailties of my human nature, and I'm asking you, God, that you'd help me tonight. I pray, Father God, that you'd increase, and God, that I'd decrease. I pray, God, that you'd help us preach and to say what the Word of God needs to be said tonight. I pray, God, that the Word of God would find a safe lodging place in the hearts of your people. And God, if this is the last time that I ever get to preach, I pray, help it to be the best time. Help me tonight to say the best things that I've ever said about you. And Lord, I love you tonight. I bless your high and holy name. In Christ's name we humbly beg and ask, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice here, we find that right after, of course, there's been 3,000 saved in chapter number 2, and the lame man's healed in chapter number 3, and chapter number 4 opens in your Bible with
5,000 men and getting born again and coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you very plainly, friend. If you ever think you're going to serve God and there's not going to be any real battles, you're mistaken. Amen. But I want you to notice what they done. And the Bible says all these things start coming. Everybody starts trying to imprison them. Persecution starts arising. But in verse 31, the Bible simply records these words. And it said, and when they had prayed, I thought, man, what a blessing. It does not say when they had preached. There's only a few folks could have done that. I understand that Peter and John are full of the Holy Ghost. But I thank God for this. And we ought to just step back and say, thank God. And God gave us access to pray. I'll say this, friend. It doesn't matter how old you are. I've never gotten too old to pray. It doesn't matter how young you are. Amen. I've never gotten too young to pray. I thank God I've heard simple prayers. I've heard the complex ones. I've heard, thank God, fervent prayers. And I've heard just a few words mentioned. But isn't it a blessing? Thank God. And when they got to a place where they needed something done, and they didn't stand up and testify, and they didn't try to sing, they didn't even preach. And the Bible said, when they had prayed. Amen. I want you to understand. I think if there's anything that's missing in our churches today, that's missing in America today, that's missing in our homes today, it's when they had prayed. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm not talking about thank God. You know, bowing your head and saying, good God bless the food, and going on about your business. We're not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. I thought about this, and no doubt, probably over half of this church, if I could say tonight, if there's one thing that we need more of, even in this place, it's the prayer to God. Amen. I want you to understand, friend, I know that you got desperate situation all across this church. There are folks tonight that are praying about very serious things. And the truth of the matter is, friend, you don't need to hear from Kevin. You need to hear from heaven. Amen. And here's what you find. And the Bible said when they prayed. I'm talking about when they prayed. Here's what you find. The first thing happened. And the word of God said the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I thought the first thing you find when they prayed is the building started shaking. Amen. And now look here, friend. Haven't you ever been in a place where somebody got a hold of God? Now we're not talking about the Old Testament. Everybody understand that? We're not talking about Isaiah 6. And we ain't talking about in the Old Testament. I'm talking about in this dispensation. I'm talking about in the grace age. And when they started praying, the building shook. Amen. I want you to think about that. Oh, I started thinking about this tonight. And my friend, when they started praying, and what that say to you and I is what had never been moved has started moving. Amen. Oh, I want to preach on this song. I'd like to pray like they prayed. Amen. I want to pray like they prayed. I want you to hear me, friend. And the Bible said when they prayed, what used to be stable and that had not moved has started moving. Amen. I'll tell you this, thank God. Prayer has the ability to move the immovable object. Amen. And I don't know where we got away from that. I started thinking about this. I don't know if there's ever been a more desperate time in America than there is right now. I've said this privately and maybe even in a message before, but what you are witnessing before your eyes is the close of a dispensation. And this thing's about to wrap up. And now anytime you go in your Bible and you start reading about the close of a dispensation, and you find it starts getting a little wonky. Everybody starts going in the wrong direction. And one of the first things I think that folks try to go away from is prayer. Amen. I want to say this. I believe the devil would rather keep me out of my private prayer closet than he would out of the public pulpit. Amen. I believe the devil would be happier with you singing your song than with you pouring your heart out on your face to God. And there's so many folks here come to the house of God. And we can sing, thank God. I mean, we can preach. But I'll tell you this, do you pray? Amen. And now look here, friend. I'm not just talking about do you pray. And do you pray like they prayed? Amen. And that's the message, thank God. And when they prayed, immovable objects, all of a sudden started moving. I start thinking about this. Listen, maybe you give up on prayer. That's between you and God. But there's a whole other generation of folks in our church that I very much want to know that prayer ought not be the last resort. Amen. And now listen, thank God. We ought not be praying after we've exhausted all other options and then said we ain't got nothing left. Let's just toss up a Hail Mary and a hope for the best. Amen. And the reason we're in the shape we're in tonight is because the situation's desperate, but the saints of God ain't. Amen. And we're standing in a place, friend, where it seems that folks don't understand the power of prayer. Amen. Oh, listen, I'll say this to you. When they got together, the Bible teaches us that it started shaking. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know why it shook. The Bible does not say that. Would it have been something if it, listen to me, would it have been something? Now, there's 5,000 people saved, best I can tell. Now, listen, look here. You get about 5,000 folks calling on the name of God at one point in time. I'd imagine a fellow could go over there having to put his hand up on the wall. I believe that wall probably reverberate just a little. Amen. Oh, it might have been that. It might have been the voice of men. But I'd say it's probably the voice of God. I'd say when the Holy Ghost got to fill in that place, what was immovable started moving. I want to say this, friend. These folks, no doubt, have been praying about things for a long time, and it seems like they've never moved one inch. But I've got good news for you. They'll just stay there until prayer moves. So you know what else had never been moved? The walls of Jericho, thank God, had never had gotten moved, amen, until all of a sudden some folks got to obeying God and talking to God and marching around the city like God said, and thank God, and then all of a sudden it started moving, amen. I thought about this, not only will prayer shake the impossible, I thought, thank God, or the immovable, it'll also shake the impossible. You know, one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible is whenever Joshua comes running there and they're fighting the battle, and then he just stops and he says, son, stand thou still over in the valley. Have me look here. I don't know what it is about that. I've never found nobody prayed for that before him, and I ain't found where nobody prayed that after him. But Joshua prayed it. And look here, don't even look like to me like he doubted it. He shows up one day right in the middle of a battle, and nobody's ever said nothing about the sun stopping, but they hadn't been nobody showed no doubt in his heart about what God could or could not do. And so he simply believed God, amen, when they prayed, amen. I'd say this to you. You know, Davis, listen, son. Hey, you know why I think he had the ability to pray that? Evan, listen, Zach, Elijah. Hey, you know why he had the ability to pray that? He'd already seen God come up to the Red Sea. He saw waters parted nobody seen before. He'd already seen God feed over 3 million or however many Jews there was for 40 straight years. And nobody ever went hungry. He still probably had on the same pair of sandals that he had when he marched out of Egypt. And his foot hadn't swollen. His clothes still on his back. He knew the power of God, Brother John. And so when it come time to march up there and just ask God to do something, it wasn't no big thing to him. He'd already seen God move before. Amen. Hey, you know why? Thank God. Listen to me, friend. Hey, you know why we don't pray more than we do? Because the reality is, as we have seen so little things happen as a result of our personal praying, that we don't understand the power of prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Oh, that's right, friend. I mean, when they prayed, they didn't have nothing else. Amen. And the Bible said when they prayed, that building shook. I thought when they prayed, the immovable happened. And when they prayed, the impossible happened. And when they prayed, the unstoppable got stopped. And when I love, listen, look here. And listen, friend. And whenever the Assyrian army come up against them, the Assyrian army said, don't you know what we've already done to the gods of Sepharvaim and of Hamath and all the rest? And they said, everything we've done
done to them, we're going to do to you too. But Hezekiah didn't just say, well, I guess the country's gone. Amen. The enemies have overtaken us. Thank God they've overflooded us. The best days are behind us. They didn't stop where they was at and say, I remember when it used to be good. I remember when altars used to be full. They didn't come up with excuses. I remember when we used to have a better army than what we've got now. Hey, listen, I can't help all the faults in the churches. I can't even help my own faults. But I'll say this, thank God, whether you and I is different is irrelevant to the point. It's still the very same God that ever has been. I like old Hezekiah. He didn't even ask no deacons. He didn't ask no pastors. He didn't ask the Sunday school teachers. He didn't ask the senators. I didn't get the legislature's help on it. He just took the letters and went in the house of God and spread them out before God, and he prayed. Amen. Hey, he said, hey, God, did you read what they said? Amen. And you know what he found? They'd made a lot of threats. Amen. But they had not come up against the God of glory. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I'm talking about when they prayed. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, they prayed. How the impossible happened. How the unstoppable happened. I thought, thank God, I'm glad even when they prayed, how the unbelievable happened. Amen. And now look here, friend. And these things that I've read about in this Bible, that you just sit and scratch your head on. I mean, whenever they was praying in Acts 12, for instance, and they all got together and they started praying for Peter's release, and they didn't even believe what they was praying, but they was praying anyhow. And I thought, God, how in the world did you honor that prayer? And the Lord just reminded me how many times that my boys have came up to me and they've said something like this. I don't know how else to relate it, but they thought it wouldn't go their way. And they said, somebody go ask Dad if we can go to the Mexican restaurant tonight. And they thought he'll not say yes. But they asked me anyhow. And I surprised them. Amen. I said, yeah, we'll do that. I'll say this to you, friend. Thank God, look here. I'd rather just go ahead and ask God and believe that God's able than I would, thank God, not to ask him. You can sit in your seat and not believe God for nothing for the rest of your life. And say, I don't believe God will ever answer me. I don't believe God will ever do something. That's between you and God. But I refuse to go through my Christian life. I'm not calling on the God of heaven. I don't see him do too many things for me. I just stop praying now. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. When they prayed, and listen, when they prayed, and the building shook. Amen. Listen, when they got together, they all got to praying, the building started shaking. Have you ever been a part of that prayer meeting? I mean, look here. I'm talking about really. You ever been a part of that prayer meeting? Unless some of y'all's aged, some of y'all's young. You ever been a part of that prayer meeting where you got together and they said there's a lot of persecution going on? Hey, there's a lot of things that's looking against us. I'll tell you what we ought to do. Look here, don't open up the latest Dr. Phil book. Don't turn on the television and find out what Oprah's got to say about it. Thank God, look here, friends, you don't need to find out what Joel Osteen's next to self-help book is. I don't need to know how Grant Creflo Dollar said to go about it. Thank God, I ain't got to read about it in an ESV. Thank God, can just open up the same old book that God's been honoring time and time again and say, God, if it ever has worked, let's all agree on this. If it ever did work, it still does. Amen. Is that right or not? Not right, thank God. I mean, if God ever did do it, thank God he still is doing it. And that's not his fault. Nobody's asking him much. I think we'll probably get to heaven and find out we've lived well below our means simply because we've got counsel from everybody except for the wonderful counselor. Amen. And thank God we ought to pray. Amen. Watch what happens. Bible says this. The place where they were assembled together, it was shaking. Second thing you find, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought when they prayed, the building shook. And when they prayed, bodies got filled. Amen. And now look here, look at me, listen. Everybody, this makes sense. This is what I believe. And Brother Kim, when I read this Bible and I see God done it for them, my question is, God, if you done it for them, would you not do it for us too? I mean, God, if they, look at me, friend.
You reckon everybody in that? You reckon everybody in that building? You reckon everybody in that building had as much faith as Peter did? You reckon everybody stood in that place and was as strong as James and John was? I'm going to tell you this. I don't know whether they was or not, but what I do know is this. Have they all prayed? Amen. And no doubt somebody started that prayer off. I don't even know how they started praying. But here's what I do know. They did not quit praying until everybody was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look at me. I start thinking about this. I'm glad the Bible says they were. Amen. And that's an action. Thank God. It happened. Praise God. And they prayed. They got together. Here's what they knew. We don't need any more. We don't need any more. Hey, you know, self-help ideologies. We ain't got to go to the world to figure it out. I'll tell you, if we're going to have any favor with God, what we need is folks that are full of the Holy Ghost. And then he tells us how to get it. Hey, you don't get full of the Holy Ghost by standing up preaching. And thank God. And preaching will help you, amen. And don't misunderstand that. But I'm telling you, friend, and when they went out publicly, it was only after they'd got full of God privately, amen. And they prayed, thank God, until their bodies got full of God, amen. Amen. They prayed. I like the sufficiency of it. It says they were all. How long you reckon that prayer meeting was? I got thinking about that. Listen, I'm afraid there's times that I've been late to the party. I've been late to show up. There's been times when I've sat in church and everybody else is hooked up and I was unplugged. There's been times I've been hooked up. But I got to thinking, I don't know how long they prayed. The Bible doesn't say. How about whenever they went up and started praying, they started praying with a purpose. And their purpose was, everybody here needs to get full. Everybody, thank God. I don't even know how they figured it out. I don't know if they counted them. I don't know if they asked a question. I don't know how they got it, but here's what I know. By the time they finished praying that night, everybody, best I can tell, that's 5,000. Now, that might have been more. That might have been a little less. But there's 5,000, and I ain't found the number change since about the third or fourth verse. And so I'm going to assume that there's about 5,000 in that place of praying it down. And before they quit praying, there was 5,000 folks that was full of God. Let me ask you this. What do you reckon 5,000 folks full of God would do? What do you reckon 100 folks full of God would do? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you prayed till you were full of God? When they prayed, they didn't stop praying until they were all. I like that the Bible, Pap, I like that the Bible says till they all were filled. You know what I think I've settled for sometimes? You know, we'll settle for a little dabble, do you, in these days, don't we? Somebody help me right there. Amen. We like to settle for that, Brother Beatty. We'll come to the house of God and say, boy, that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it got me a little bit, pricked my heart. But thank God, look here. We ought not settle till we get plumb full. Amen. Amen. I mean, thank God, get full of God. Boy, I'll tell you, it'd help everything if we just prayed and we got full of God. I probably wouldn't have to preach as long. I probably wouldn't have to sing as long. I probably wouldn't have to testify as long. I'd say if we all got just full of God, God'd probably do all the talking. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. How can you imagine what would change in your life if when we prayed, we didn't stop praying till we got full of God?
They didn't. Well, listen, I like that building shaking part. I'm being honest with you. I was sitting in my garage about to take a lap on the building shaking. But then I started thinking about, I wonder what it would take. I mean, I wonder. Well, I feel the Lord helping me. I wonder what it'd take for all of us in this church to get full of God. At the same time, this wasn't like two Sundays apart, you understand? Not 1 month and then... There's been times, you know, there's been pockets of people, and y'all know what I'm saying. There's been times in your life that you and everybody around you was on fire for God. Wake up in the morning, you called everybody that's on fire for God, and y'all talked about how on fire for God you was. Amen. I talked about what more you could do for God, that sort of thing. But boy, I mean, I'm talking about what would happen if this whole church got full of God.
I want to look here, friend, and I'm not trying to, we probably ain't going to stay till midnight tonight or nothing like that, but I wonder what would happen if we decided we wasn't going to leave here till everybody was. I wonder if I said on Sunday morning we're going to have a service, God, we're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost service, and we ain't going to leave till everybody gets full of God. Amen. It might take us about 12, 14 hours. I wonder how many folks we'll have. Oh, that number might dwindle down. How about the ones that would stay? I'll say this. I've been in churches before that I thank God whenever there's been a movement of God. And about 12:30, you know, everybody said, well, that was fine. I appreciate that move of God. I was thinking about being over at Pilot Mountain one night. And there was three young men on an altar. And it was about 12:30. And where I was standing, I was sitting about where you was at, Brother Crabtree. At best of my memory, and I could turn around, I could see. And at 12:30, their bellies started getting hungry. And at 1 o'clock, they started filing out. And at 1:30, the crowd got real thin. And by 2 o'clock, there's less than a quarter left. And I thought, I remember thinking, Callie, I was just still yet a young man. And I remember thinking, my God in heaven, are we at the place in this thing where there's three folks on an altar seeking God? And we care more about what's going in our mouth and in our belly than what's getting down in their soul. I want to say this, friend. Look here, it would do us all good. You say, preacher, I am full of God. Then you ought to be the first one to pray and ask God to fill somebody else up. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. When they prayed, the building shook. When they prayed, bodies got filled with the Holy Ghost. When they prayed, when those men prayed, the Bible records it in this book what happened when they prayed. Listen, this is all introduction. It'll be a real short, be a 3-minute message, but a long introduction. But I want you to watch the third thing that happens when they prayed. The Bible says when they prayed, they spake the word of God with boldness. Boy, when they prayed, buildings shook. They prayed, bodies got filled. When they prayed, the Bible got preached. When they prayed. I want to say this to you. I've said this in our prayer room before privately, and I may have said this publicly, I don't know. My mind's leaving me, and it's a good thing. I can preach the same thing over and over, and it'll be fresh every time. Amen? I'm saying this to you. I'll never forget, Rod. You know, they call Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of Preachers. And if you've ever read anything that he's ever written, you'd understand why. I mean, that man with just one little pen stroke, I mean, just in one sentence, will write some of the most beautiful language you ever heard. But I was reading about Charles Haddon Spurgeon standing up preaching, and they said this about him, preacher. He said, how do you preach with such power? He said, you think the power comes from the pulpit? And he took him down to what he called his boiler room. And inside his boiler room, he had 120 men on their faces before God. He said, here's the power source. He said, they're praying while I'm preaching. Amen. He said, I never stepped foot in the pulpit until 120 men's down there. I'm trying to get a hold of heaven. I'm going to say this to you. And thank God if we want to have better preaching, and we want to have better singing, and we want to have more powerful everything, and thank God quit talking about it and start praying for it. Amen. And do us all good. And when they got done praying, and the Bible said they went out and they spake it with boldness. They walked out of the building shook, and they walked out with bodies filled, and they walked out with the Bible coming out of their mouth. Amen. When they prayed, that's what happened. When they prayed. Here's the question. What happens when I pray? What happens when you pray? We know what happened when they prayed. What happens when we pray? All right. That's a sobering question. That hurts. That pricks our heart. Y'all understand when I preach, I ain't preaching nothing to you that God's not already preached to me. Everybody understands that? When they prayed. But I said, Lord, what about when I want to pray like they prayed. Don't y'all want that? I want to pray like that. I want to get a hold of God like that. I want to get a hold of God that when I bring something immovable and impossible and I lay it down on the altar, I want to walk away from the altar saying God's going to move what seems to be immovable. He's going to do what seems to be unbelievable. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm going to believe He is. And then I want to watch it happen. Now here's the thing. Everybody stay tuned. I'll be done. We're not praying to anybody different. Y'all agree with that? We're still praying to the same person. I hope if you ain't, we got bigger problems than this message. We're praying to the same person. So it can't be who we're praying. It must be how we are. Here's the message. You ready? Three things different about how they prayed versus how we pray. Number one, whenever they prayed with dependency. There was no backup plan. You know what we have in our day? I've got backup plans for my backup plans. You do too. If your house burns down, you've got house insurance. If you wreck your car, you got. If your body breaks down, you got. That's right. We got backups for our backups. If this plan don't work out, I've got this plan. And if that plan don't work out, I've got this plan. And if that plan don't work out, I got this plan. I've got more plans than you even know about. I got so many plans, I got plans on top of plans, but they didn't. When they prayed, preacher, they had all their eggs, one basket. Didn't have no backups. Their sense of dependency. They prayed, they put it on God, with no backups. They said, if you don't help us, our goose is cooked. All we know is you. We ain't trying nothing else. It's you. You know what I believe the Lord loves about that? Is that they said, God, we ain't even looking nowhere else. Miss Wilda, it's Jehoshaphat getting to that place where they come up against that great company. And they said, our eyes are on you, for we know not what to do. And the Lord said, is that right? Well, one of my favorite passages, Josh, in the whole Bible, when they stand there, says, and the husbands and their wives and their little ones. And they said, God, if you don't help us, we're all dead. God said, okay, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to help you my way. Nobody with spears and swords goes out. Who in here wants to worship? There's a few folks say, well, we're the singers. He said, that'll work. Front lines. No weapons. Can you imagine that? Walking out, battling the enemy. And all you're singing is page 359, leaning on the everlasting arms. No weapons in your hands. Just everything's on God. No dependency. Second thing I thought was this, no expectancy. You know why we don't see more? We don't expect more. I wish somebody helped me a little more on that one. It's not only is there no backups for them, there's no toss-up for them. That works great. If it don't, we'll get help somewhere else. When they prayed, they were expecting God to do something. They were expecting. Last thing. You stand to your feet, you'll know it's the last thing. They prayed with dependency. They prayed with expectancy. Last thing I want you to know is this. They prayed with fervency. There wasn't no give up. When they prayed, they didn't stop praying until God answered their prayer. I'll ask you this question. You answer it in your own heart. Allison, you come play. I'm asking you this in your own heart tonight. How many things was there a time that it moved in your heart, but now you've given up praying for it? No fervency. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No fervency. When they prayed, I'm not asking, thank God, look here. I'm talking about all of us tonight. When they prayed, boy, I'd like for that to happen with our church tonight. When we pray, I'd like to walk out of here, Clark, and say, well, man, when we prayed at Amazing Grace, the building shook. Bodies was filled. And the Bible was proclaimed. When we prayed, what seemed to be immovable started moving. What seemed to be impossible started coming to fruition. What started to be unbelievable, all of a sudden God started doing it when we prayed. I've cleared my heart.